And I want to thank Mike Brennan ahead of time, the editor of MI Tech News, who set up our conversation that is going to be happening right now as we reach across the oceans and land in Istanbul, Turkey, where a gentleman who was our guest a while back, he is the CEO of a company called SmartFinds Internet Marketing, Meli Ostle is with us, and we're talking with him from Istanbul, Turkey. Meli, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, guys, nice to be on your show again.
Thank you. And I have to say...
I'm in a different place this time.
Yeah. We kind of expected you to be in studio like the last time, but this is maybe more fun.
Oh, come on. I guarantee you this is going to be a lot more entertaining than the last time I was on the show.
Both were entertaining, but you are in Turkey, and you were there during the coup, and you have some firsthand knowledge about what was going on online while this was all happening on Friday night.
Yeah, guys, this I have to admit, you know, being in this type of a situation in Turkey was very interesting, especially with all the new technologies that we have today. From a communication standpoint, from a variety of different elements regarding digital technologies, I found it very interesting because as the coup attempt began, and as you can imagine, my understanding is it started somewhere around 7:30 p.m. Eastern European time at the moment, which would have been about noon our time back in the U.S. But it was a few hours before really, you know, the word started to spread that this was getting very serious. And so once I had heard about it, which was closer to about 10 p.m. Istanbul time, I got online and I went to Twitter, then I went to Facebook, and then I started going to the news channels. Now, this is the interesting part about what was happening last night. When I went to CNN.com, I was having a hard time getting through. When I went to BBC.com, I was having a hard time getting through. When I went to other news station type websites that were out there, it was difficult to get to them.
And by the way,
when I was on...
Mary, I was just going to say, part of the thing is when a coup occurs like this normally, the people who are taking over traditionally take over radio stations, take over TV stations. And for instance, the CNN crew was actually kicked out of the studio, I understood, by armed troops.
And tried to take, you know, tried to resist, and that didn't work.
That didn't work at all. But I mean, that's a typical pattern in coups, is you take over the means of communication. The only problem is, Mary, they couldn't take over the means of communication anymore, could they?
No, to be perfectly honest with you, I had the TV running over here too, and TV in Turkey is no different than TV in the U.S., you know, 300 channels. I mean, can you imagine these guys trying to control all these different TV stations? It was just impossible. So all the TV channels were perfectly running except for the main Turkish TRT station, which was the one that they did try to take over. They took over the CNN Turk station primarily because that's the station that allowed Erdogan to do FaceTime and get him on the air.
Now, Erdogan, as a background to our listeners, Erdogan is the current president of Turkey, right?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay, just
and
as a background.
We'll try to stay away from all the politics in this conversation over here and just focus on the technologies of what was going on. And so, yeah, you're right. From a communication standpoint, these guys were not able to control the communications. It's not like it was 20 years ago or even 50 years ago, you know, where you can just control one radio station or one TV station. The level of communications and digital technologies is just quite broad nowadays.
Now, do they have over in Turkey the kind of concept of the emergency broadcast channel? I know that WJR here, we have a couple different layers and levels of security to get into the studio here because we're the designated emergency broadcast station where all the other stations tune to. That only controls radio, doesn't control TV, doesn't control the internet, obviously. Mm-hmm. But do they have a concept like that over there in Turkey?
That's a good question. Even though my family background's Turkish and I'm here on business and as well as on family issues, this is a level of detail that I don't know because I live most of my life outside of Turkey.
No, okay.
That's a good question. As far as the coup is concerned, since these guys were armed, I don't think that any level of security measure would have stopped these guys anyway.
What was it like? I mean, you were in Istanbul, so the troubles, if you will, the military engagements began 4 hours to the east in Ankara, the capital. Am I right?
Correct. The real activity was in the capital of Turkey, in Ankara, and that's where they had a lot of armed guards and clashes going on, mm-hmm. and bombings that were happening. There was not that level of activity in Istanbul where I'm at. I'm in an affluent area within Istanbul. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest with you, had somebody not called me and told me that this was going on, the area that I'm in is quite quiet.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it could be. It's fascinating that could be happening.
I don't know that I would have known that it was happening because you have to keep it. I think for our listeners, from a perspective standpoint, keep in mind that Istanbul has a population of nearly 20 million. Let's compare that to New York City, which only has 8.5 million.
20 million people in Istanbul.
You can just imagine how broad of a geography that Istanbul is spread over. So imagine that you were down in, that you're in Brooklyn and there's a bomb that went off and you're up in the Bronx. I mean, what are the chances that you would hear about it unless you happen to turn on the news?
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, the same scenario is going on over here. Where I am on the Asian side of Istanbul and where a lot of this activity was going on, it would take me an hour to get there.
Did they have any concept of taking out some of the entrance ramps into Turkey via the internet? The big routers like we have May East and May West. Now we have lots of others, so it'd be very difficult in the U.S. But Turkey, I'm guessing, probably if they really understood the network.
Yeah, I'm not quite clear that these guys that were trying to do the coup attempt understood all these levels of details.
That seems to be one of the keys, that they didn't really grasp that. And it's after the Arab Spring. It's kind of amazing to me that they didn't get that you can't just, like the good old days, pardon me, march in and take over physically.
Yeah, it's not tanks and guns anymore.
No.
Not just tanks and guns anymore.
Yep, I agree. Guys, I had full access to the internet the entire time this was going on. So, and with all this excitement, I was up till about 4:30 in the morning. A lot of different technologies that we were using were very interesting. Like I said, the one thing I found interesting is the fact that Twitter was alive and well. I was tracking about 10 different hashtag conversations simultaneously, and I there was no way I could keep up with the volume of activity that was happening worldwide. It was coming in from all seven continents around the globe. It was nonstop, and it was very interesting to just kind of get a perspective of everybody's views of political views of what's going on. There was one that was just hilarious. There was a kind of a play on Erdogan's name and the hashtag was Erdogan, because let's face it, there's a lot of people that do want him out.
Absolutely. I want to make sure that people know who we're talking with here. Meli Ostalay is our guest here. He's the CEO of SmartFinds Internet Marketing. He's right now, however, in his native land, which is Turkey, and we're talking to us from Istanbul via the internet. And Ed, you asked a question before. You were saying, this isn't like North Korea or China.
Right, I was thinking like in North Korea or China, when something like this happens, they just flip a switch and they go dark, and there's no internet access. They're behind these massive firewalls. But you have Turkey there, which is like a bridge between two huge continents.
And
I'm thinking everything passes through Turkey, if not the Mediterranean Sea, as far as, and they really just can't flick a switch off, I would imagine.
Well, that was Gary's question before about the links into the country.
I would say that the attempted coup and the people that staged it, I doubt that they were well organized enough to do all these things. Because, yes, there is, as a matter of fact, like, for example, today when I woke up, I tried to get to Facebook and I try to get to Twitter and YouTube. YouTube and Facebook were switched off. You could not get to them today during the day.
Oh.
It wasn't until about maybe 1 or 2 hours ago I could finally get back to Facebook and YouTube. Twitter has been available 24/7 nonstop. It was never shut off.
I want to take we're going to take a quick pause. Can you stick around?
Yep.
Okay. I want to find out more about that. Mike Brennan is going to join us, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And he's one of them, matter of fact, who provided us with this contact with Millie. Again, our guest right now from Istanbul, Turkey, is Millie Oğuzdağ, and he is the CEO of SmartFinds Internet Marketing. He's right now in Istanbul, Turkey. We're talking about some of the interesting aspects of this attempted coup to take over Turkey. Back with more of that story in just a moment. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. And just to reintroduce the people who are with us right now, we have online with us Millie Oğuzdağ, who is calling us from, on the Internet, by the way, calling us from Istanbul, Turkey, where he has, along with the rest of the folks there, gone through an attempted military coup of the Turkish government. Apparently it failed. And we've been talking about the role that technology has been playing in that. And I want to also welcome Mike Brennan, who is with us. Mike, thank you very much as the editor of MI Tech News, also a friend of Millie and a colleague for making this connection for us, Mike. Thank you so much.
And now Millie is a war correspondent. Congratulations.
Just another title has been added.
Yeah. Just another credit added to the list.
You know, Ed had some... Ed Rudell here in studio, you had an interesting comment because you've been looking at some other sites as well that are showing some of the things that have been going on there, talking about how technology...
Well, there's so many different avenues. You know, basically on the apps and the phone, you got Twitter on your phone, but also there's less or more obscure sites like Reddit and Imgur. Mm. Also are websites where people are posting photos and comments about things that are going on as well. So, you know, besides just Twitter and Instagram and... Mm-hmm. Facebook.
Now, Millie, you mentioned, by the way, just before the break, that there has been some of the services were shut off for a while. So they did. The government did. Is it the government that did that? Was it YouTube and was it Facebook?
Yeah. So during the attempted coup, everything was up and running. I had heard some people saying that, hey, I can't get to Facebook or whatever, but I was able to get through the internet fairly easily.
Okay.
The issue that I ran into is the fact that the news websites like CNN and Fox
yeah.
were actually were unreachable because their servers weren't able to keep up with the volume of people coming in, whereas
oh, yeah.
Twitter is actually designed for that type of environment. And so that's the part that I found interesting. I got more news out of Twitter than trying to go to one of the news websites.
You also got images out of it, too. I saw these little clips that were coming out of short video that was coming out showing scenes that were going on, for yep. instance, on the Bosphorus Bridge and other things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's obviously, there were some bad moments as far as what happened, and people did get killed and, in this type of environment. But going to the digital side of things, it was very interesting as far as how much information you were able to gather live from what people were tweeting and how they were tweeting. Not just photos and videos, but then the fact that there were so many different channels that were open around this as well. I agree that Reddit probably would have been another one that I could have gone to check
yeah.
things out. But to be perfectly honest with you, Twitter was keeping me busy enough. We're just monitoring 10 hashtag channels.
So, you know, we just had a conversation with Dean Crosscroft about sites that you really can't quite believe when you're talking about horticulture. Could you believe the Twitter feeds were accurate? How would you determine that?
Okay, well, see, that's the
good
interesting
question.
Thing. There's no question in the middle of all this chaos, and then when you have like hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people chiming in at the same time, the question is what is accurate and what's not. You
mm-hmm.
start to have to sift through it all a little bit and pick and choose what seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree that I'm not convinced that it was all reasonable at all. But let me just add something that was very interesting. One of the things that that was happening in Twitter is that a lot of people were trying to figure out where exactly is Erdogan, because they know they did see him on CNN Turkey from a FaceTime feed, but they didn't know exactly where he was. And the Twitter channels were very interesting because few people actually knew that he was on a private jet coming from Turkey's Riviera area in the south, and they knew his private jet's flight number, and you could go to a website like flightradar24.com, punch that in, and actually find him.
Oh, my word. You don't have to be CIA or NSA to do that. You simply have to be clever enough to know that's available.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Incredible.
It was amazing. I actually took a screenshot because after you could see his plane going around in circles, especially there was a point where apparently he was trying to look for asylum, assuming that this succeeded. And you could see where that all may have been transpiring, where because the plane was going around in circles. And then once the coup failed, you could see his plane start to move towards Istanbul and went, and then land. And I took a screenshot of that whole path. It was very interesting.
Manny, I want to thank you so much for all that you've given us. You know, folks, this is kind of like a peek behind the curtain of how social media is transforming the whole notion of news and how we gather it. During the break, we were talking about that I'm old enough. My 70th birthday is coming up in less than 2 weeks, and or a month rather. And I remember the days when, you know, you had Walter Cronkite, and we would tune into the news, and they would like feed it to us, or if you will, they would manage it for us, and we would depend on Walter Cronkite saying things that are, you know, this
sure,
is the way
Uncle
it is.
Uncle Walter, if he said it, it was true.
And when he said that the Vietnam War is wrong, all sorts of stuff happened, you know, after that. That no longer is the case. It's just kind of this Wild West frontier of information that anybody can gather and put out.
Hey, I want to also mention that last night I was communicating with Melee through WhatsApp. So we were doing a VoIP app over our smartphones. Because as soon as I heard about the coup or attempted coup, I contacted him to make sure he was okay, because I knew he was in Istanbul. So.
That's fascinating. Manny, thank you so much. Just quickly, what so far right now is the fallout in Istanbul?
Today, it's like business as usual.
Okay.
Nothing has changed. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure in Ankara, 4 or 5 hours away, there's a lot of activity as far as what the fallout looks like. But here in Istanbul, I think the fallout's fairly, you know, low key. Mm. There's not a lot going on. I'm at my parents' place, which is right on Baghdad Avenue on the Asian side, which is an affluent area. Traffic was flowing and people outside just normal. Nothing special going on at all.
Mm-hmm. Manny, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And
sure, my pleasure.
Manny Ostale, who is the CEO of SmartFinds Internet Marketing and a friend of Mike Brennan. We're glad that you're okay. We will keep our eyes on, however, now that the news services are back up as they kind of sift through everything that's going on there. We'll use, I'm sure, CNN and BBC and other ones to keep a track of what's going on. But thank you for helping us experience that in some ways through your eyes as well. Manny, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. And Mike, you must be mighty happy that your friend, Bailey, is well and was not harmed in that process, because when a country goes into an attempted coup, I was in Bolivia in 1969 when one of the many coups happened, and there was a night when we were kind of concerned that we might have a mob come climbing over the walls of the compound that we were in, and that depended on who happened to win. And in this particular case, it was the Air Force that happened to win in Bolivia, and that. And it helped us to be, you know, secure. But boy, I remember that feeling of terrible insecurity.